Hello, I am Gabriel, lead pastor of Grace Communion Richardson, and I just want to welcome you to this Sunday's worship stream. Here at Grace Communion Richardson, we are a group of diverse people who seek to know Jesus and to make Him known in our worship, through family fellowship, and through neighborhood engagements, all propelled by the compelling love of Jesus Christ. You're welcome to this stream, and we want to know where you are watching from. So please let us know that. We'd love to know also if you are watching with other people. It is great to know who all out there are joining us for worship this Sunday. Also, please feel free to share your comments, and feel free to send us your prayer request. We know there are a lot of things going on in our nation and in our world right now, and we believe in the power of prayer, in the sense that we believe that God hears, God listens to the cries of His people, and we would love to pray for and with you. So please feel free to send us your prayer request to the prayer request address at the bottom right corner of your screen. I also know that a lot of us are missing being back to in-person worship. We are in the process of preparing to go back to in-person worship, but we want to do so in a safe, secure, and as comfortable a manner as possible. At the same time, we want to be able to continue to serve online those who, for a variety of reasons, are unable to be part of an in-person worship. So we will let you know as soon as decisions are made. We are also keeping an eye on the virus and the status of it as we make such decisions. And I would appreciate it if you join us in prayer as we go through this process of making sure that we are doing the right thing. Right now, I would like to invite you to join some members of our praise team as they share a worship song with us. After that, we will have an opening prayer and scripture reading by Brenda and Jackie. And then I will just share a sincere thanks for your support for our ministry and our gospel work. And then we'll come back for the main message for today. So please stay with us.
It's alabaster jar. It's all I have. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come together to worship you, to honor you. There is no God but you. You are our provider, our protector, our peace, our joy, our life eternal. In you we rejoice. As we meet by means of the internet, bless this service. Bless the speaking. Bless the hearing. Bless the message today. Cause many to tune in and be refreshed. Let the word that you speak through Pastor Gabriel reach many hearts. Open the spiritual ears. Take the blinders off and cause each one listening to hear your voice, your word, your heart, and to see Jesus. We offer much gratitude and thanksgiving for the multitude of blessings you provide. Bless the worship music. Grant us to raise our voices in praise and rejoicing. Father, please intervene in the coronavirus. The COVID-19 is a terrible pandemic, and the whole world needs your healing and intervention. Bless today the worship team with robust praise and worship music. Bless the scripture reading. Bless the preaching. Bless the fellowship. We thank you. You are the magnificent creator. You are creating in each one of us the assurance of eternal life in joy and peace. We praise you and trust you and thank you in the name of the Holy One of Nazareth, our brother, our friend, our Savior, our salvation, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Genesis 22, 1 through 14. Abraham tested. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, who you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached up his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord came out to him from heaven. "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Now that I know you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Hebrews 3, verse 7, 8, and 13. So the Holy Spirit says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called a day, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness."
Thank you so much to our praise team for that worship song. And thank you also to Jackie and Brenda for the prayer and for the scripture reading. Right now, I just want to say thank you to Grace Communion Richardson members and supporters and all those of you out there who are supporting us, helping financially. We are grateful for your support. It enables us to share hope in a world that is in desperate need of hope. And if you are minded to support us, there are ways to do so that's on your screen right now. Please remember that all financial support are tax deductible. So thank you so much for your generous lifestyle and support. Welcome back to the main message for this Sunday's worship stream. God is calling us into his life of love and joy. God is calling us to be participants in what he is doing, which is his mission of bringing many sons and daughters into glory and into an eternal life in his Son, Jesus Christ. So in Jesus, God is calling you into your purpose as you participate in his life and in his mission of love. Are you hearing that call? Are you answering that call? Are you willing to say, "Here I am, Lord"? That's the title of the message for today. Here I am, Lord. Are you willing to say that? Well, I want us to consider this call and answer that God places on us in the story of Abraham, Isaac, and human sacrifice. All right? We have been looking at God's interaction with Abraham over these past few Sundays. And today we continue to look at that interaction within the context of what God asked Abraham to do concerning his son Isaac and Abraham's attitude and answer to that. It is important, friends, during times of uncertainty, during times of tumult, it is important that during times of challenges, during times that we're not sure what's going on, that we have anxiety and even fear, it is important that we remind ourselves of the goodness of God and seek to hear his voice. Let me say that again. It is important that during times of uncertainty, during times of challenges, during times of anxiety and potential fear, that we seek to hear the voice of God, to seek to hear what God is saying to us and to trust him. It's not easy when times are hard to do that, but it's when we need to do that the most. To hear God's voice and to trust him. It is having what I call the "here I am" attitude, the "here I am, Lord" attitude, even when things are tough. That's kind of the story of Abraham, Isaac, and human sacrifice. So, as I said earlier, God has been interacting with Abraham and his family. We saw some of these interactions in previous Sundays with the promise of the birth of Isaac, with the throwing out of the home of Ishmael and Hagar, and that was actually last Sunday. And this Sunday, today, we are continuing in looking at the interaction God is having with Abraham and his family in Genesis chapter 22. Because that story helps us to understand that difficult challenges, difficult choices, difficult decisions that we face as humans are not strange to God. And in fact, he is in these things with us. So in Genesis chapter 22, if you don't mind joining me in reading Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, sometime later, God tested Abraham. That opening suggests to us that, yes, there is an interaction taking place between God and Abraham. This is not out of the blue, that is, when he says sometime later. It means he's talking within the context of time, of interactions that be going on over time. And then God said to him, Abraham. Abraham responded, here I am. Here I am. Then God said in verse 2, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain, I will show you. Wow. God is asking for human sacrifice? That's hard. This is hard stuff. But first of all, when we read, here I am, when Abraham responds to God that way, there is more to it than just the expression, here I am. In the Hebrew, it is deep. It is saying, I am all here. I'm completely here. I'm not holding anything back. I am all in, as it were. I'm completely at your disposal. That's what Abraham is saying here in the Hebrew when he says, here I am to God. And then immediately God puts that to the test by saying, well, go and sacrifice your son. And you see, he even qualifies that. He says, your son whom you love. God knows that Abraham loves Isaac. He says, yeah, I want you to sacrifice your son as a burnt offering on a mountain where I'm going to show you. Wow. That's a test. The scripture says God tested Abraham. In other words, God was proving Abraham's attitude of, here I am. I am all here. I am holding nothing back. I am completely at your disposal. God is saying, okay, I want you to go and sacrifice your son, Isaac. The son that you love. I want you to sacrifice him as a burnt offering. That's a very hard passage of scripture to read, friends. And the Bible is full of such hard passages. And that's one of the things that I like and respect about scripture, the Bible. It does not pull punches when it comes to describing the reality of the interactions that God has with us and that we have with each other. It keeps it real. It doesn't dodge some of these issues that you would think that someone who wants a favorable view will do. No, scripture just lays it out there. And this is not the only hard saying in scripture. There are a number of passages like that that are hard for us to contemplate. You know, like the story of Cain and Abel. That's a tough one. Or even the story of Adam and Eve and the serpent. The story of Sodom and Gomorrah. The story of Jesus on the cross. Those are all hard passages to read. It's hard stuff. And one of the things that I also want us to consider is that here is a friend of God, and Abraham is described as such, being asked by God to do this very hard thing, to sacrifice his son. That's hard. I have felt that way sometimes, because when God calls and we say, here I am, sometimes saying here I am sounds very hard. Not only sounds very hard, but actually feels very hard. It feels like we are giving up our firstborn son to say, here I am to God. It feels like we are giving our right arm. It feels like we are giving our right eye, so to speak. It feels like a very high sacrifice to make in order to say, here I am, God, in certain situations in our walk with Jesus, doesn't it? And that's kind of where Abraham is here. He is facing a very high sacrifice, it seemed, in saying, here I am to God. Of course, the nature of the request itself is not too strange, because in those days and in that environment, it was predominantly a pagan environment, child sacrifice was not uncommon. And so the request itself may not be the issue for Abraham, but the issue is that this God that he knows has never hinted of anything like this, who seems to be different from all the other gods around him, seems to be asking this, and asking this of a son that he himself had promised and had provided as the vehicle for the promised inheritance and blessing of many generations to come. How is that going to work? How is that possible? So Abraham may have been contending with all of this in his mind, and yet he was confronted with his attitude of, here I am, Lord, not holding anything back, not even my son. And of course, we know now as we look back that this was a type of God himself giving of his son, Jesus, for you and for me and for the whole world. Abraham is known as the father of the faithful. And this is one of the reasons why, as we continue to read the story, it's one of the reasons why he has that accolade, that designation as the father of the faithful. So let's continue reading in verse 7, this 22nd chapter of Genesis. In verse 7, we break into the story here. Isaac is now wondering, as his father Abraham had called him and said, look, we need to go and do a burnt sacrifice in the Moriah region. And Isaac says, wait a second, I can see, he says, well, let's just read it in verse 7, the 22nd chapter of Genesis. Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. Then Isaac goes on, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? It's a perfectly logical and reasonable question that Isaac asked. I can see the fire that we're going to use. I can see the wood that we're going to use the fire to light. But where is the lamb that we're going to use for the burnt offering? Verse 8, Abraham answers, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. God himself. So even though he is contending in his mind probably what all this means, Abraham continues to depend on God, to rely on God to figure something out of this, because he wasn't sure what was going on, right? And that is how sometimes we need to react, because we know who God is. As a result of that knowledge, we hold on to the truth that God is good and God will figure it out. God will figure out how it is going to turn out, even if I do not know, even if I do not understand. In fact, even if I disagree, I am going to let God be God and allow the good God to figure it out. That's kind of the attitude that Abraham seems to be projecting here in his response to Isaac. In chapter 22 and verse 9 to 14, we read the rest of the story here, verse 9. And when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac. So now Isaac realizes that, wait a minute, I'm going to be the lamb. What is going on here? But he didn't resist. He didn't fight. That also is an illustration of the kind of relationship that Abraham had with his son and the kind of relationship that Isaac had with his father, Abraham. So Abraham bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Verse 10, then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied, the same Hebrew word. I am all here, Lord. I am completely here. I am not holding anything back. Here I am. Do not lay a hand on the boy, verse 12, the angel says. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by his horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, verse 14, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The Lord will provide. That's an attitude of faith. That's an attitude of trust. We see here in this story that Abraham went all the way to the brink before God steps in to provide. Do you feel at your brink? At your wit's end? The Lord provides. And sometimes it feels like it goes all the way to the brink. We wonder and we wonder, and we continue in faith, and God provides. The fact is, not even death is quote unquote end for God. So for us, sometimes death in our minds, in our hearts, is the end, but it is not the case for God. Death is way inferior to God's ability to provide. Okay? God is Lord over death, and He provides what we need, even beyond death. God provides the point of providing His own Son in sacrifice on our behalf so that we may be redeemed, so that we may be forgiven, so that we may be reconciled and transformed into an eternal love relationship of joy with God as His sons and daughters. That's how God gives. And God gives and gives and gives in His Son. In Jesus is the promises of God all accomplished. And Abraham relied on his knowledge of who God is in responding to this very hard challenge that faced him. And at the brink, God provided, just as God does with us. Sometimes we feel at our brink, and we need to remember that God is at that point with us as well. He's not abandoned us. This is what we learned last Sunday. We are never alone. God is present, and His present aid is made manifest in His time and in His way. And His time and His way, friends, are always the best. And this is the story that we read concerning Abraham and Isaac and sacrifice. Now, you see in the scripture, it says, now I know. Now, some wonder, how can God say that if he's omniscient? I thought God was all-knowing. And he said, now I know. Well, this is the difference, friends, between objective knowledge, which is true that God is all-knowing, and subjective or experiential knowledge that God subjects himself to. It's part of what it means for God to be incarnated in his relationship with us. God limits God's self in subjective relationship with us so that God can be surprised, so that God can be be proud of us, so to speak. God can rejoice and cry with us. It is a real relationship that God enters in with us. So God can be disappointed. God can be surprised. God can cry with us and rejoice with us. And it is an amazing thing, if you really pause to consider it, that the Almighty Sovereign Creator God limits himself by entering into our world and sharing our world with us in a way that makes for a true relationship. It's amazing. It's like us parents entering into the world of our child in relationship, right? And, you know, you see that sometimes even parents speak like their kids sometimes, especially like babies. We do the baby talk with them, right? Well, we can talk better than that, but we do baby talk with our kids sometimes. We do baby play with them, if I may use that expression. And depending on what age they are, that's kind of how God interacts with us. When we say God is incarnational, that's part of what that means. God enters into our human existence. And he limits himself so that he can do so, enter into our human existence and share relationship of love with us. And so when God, in this scripture, he said to say to Abraham, now I know, he's speaking in the subjective, experiential sense. He's speaking as someone who is having a relationship with Abraham, a real one, by the way, an authentic one. He says, look, now I know that you are indeed all in when you say, here I am, whenever I call. Here I am, Lord. I am all here, Lord. I'm completely here, Lord. I'm not holding anything back, Lord. Now I know that you mean it. It's an experiential, subjective relationship that has been made manifest. And that's a beautiful thing that God does with us. It's an incredible interest that God has in engaging our hearts, our innermost fears, our challenges, and revealing himself to us, that he is willing to give up his son, Jesus, for us. Now, Abraham didn't have to give up Isaac, but God gave up his son, Jesus Christ, for you and for me and for the rest of the world. And he did so for a great good. And that great good is that we may be not only forgiven and redeemed, but we may be transformed and have an eternal relationship of love and of joy as his children, as his sons and daughters in glory. That's how much God was willing to give through his son. So in Hebrews chapter 3, again, this was read earlier. In Hebrews chapter 3, the writer of Hebrews reminds us about the importance of listening to the voice of God. Hebrews chapter 3. And in verse 7, Hebrews, the third chapter in verse 7, The writer of Hebrews says this: so as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Right? Today, that means present, right now. Whenever today is, right? Whenever you hear the voice of God, the writer of Hebrews is saying, do not harden your hearts. Be like Abraham. Here I am, Lord. I am all here, Lord. In verse 13, Hebrews, the third chapter, and in verse 13, it says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. That is to say, the writer of Hebrews is saying, look, we have many opportunities each day to hear the voice of God, and that we should listen to that voice of God. And we should accept that voice of God. And not only should we do so, we should support, encourage, and help one another to do the same. Because in the life that we live, it is very easy to go your own way and to be deceived by going your own way rather than listening to the voice of God. So listening to the voice of God involves having a relationship with him, a relationship that says, I am all in, I am all here with you, Lord. I know it's not going to be easy. In fact, I know it's going to be hard sometimes, but I am still here because I know that you will never leave nor forsake me. And I also know that you will provide what I lack. You will provide what I need. You provide and fill up the gaps that I have, because that's who you are. That's the kind of God that you are. You are a good God. And so here I am. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. When the sending God calls, would you commit like Abraham to say and to live? Because saying here I am is not just words. It is behavioral, his actions, how we live, how we think, and how we live. And that's what Abraham showed with his willingness to go to the brink about sacrificing Isaac. So the writer of Hebrews is saying, when the Lord calls, are we willing to commit like Abraham to say and to live, here I am, Lord? Would you trust God to provide even when you are at your wit's end? You know, I shared this some time ago, and this is the lyrics of a song called Here I Am, Lord by Dan Shute. I'm just reading some of the excerpts from this song. You probably know it. It says, I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? And then the chorus says, here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord. If you lead me, I will hold your people in my heart. Finest bread I will provide till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. It's beautiful words of commitment. And that is my prayer for you and for me, that we will know who God is, that he is a good, good God, that he is a provider God, that he is a protector God. He is a providential and benevolent God who will take care when we trust him and when we live by faith in who he is and not just by sight of what we see around us. So Lord, help us to trust in you, to be wholly and completely present to you, and through that, to be present with each other. Remind us that you are for us and not against us. Help us to hear your voice, O God, in our lives and hearts, and to respond, "Here I am, Lord," to your honor, to your glory, and in service to you and to each other. Amen. Let us conclude today's worship by joining our worship team as they share a praise song to conclude. And I look forward to continuing this journey of seeking to know Jesus and to make him known with you next Sunday as we continue to learn and to grow in his grace together. Amen.
With us.